Have you heard the one about the old pastor who was just coming up to retirement, and while he was searching in his closet, he found a small wooden box. He hadn't seen this box before, and so he flipped open the lid, and to his surprise, inside were three eggs and $150 bills. He was surprised by his finding. He went downstairs to meet his wife in the kitchen. He said, "Honey, I found this box in our closet, and it's perplexed me. Take a look inside. There's three eggs and $150 bills. "Well," she said, "darling, as I've been listening to your sermons through the years, every time you gave a bad one, I put an egg in the box." Well, of course, the old pastor who's coming out for retirement looked pretty relieved that through the years, through all the years of his ministry, at the end, coming to the end, there was only three eggs in the box. "And by the way," he said to her, "what about the $150 bills? "Well," she said, "whenever I got a dozen eggs in the box, I sold them for a dollar." I haven't found any boxes like that in my closet just yet. And I hope this won't be a bad egg today. Well, let's join me in a word of prayer before we start this morning. We're going to have a look at the life of God's friend, a little look at the life of God's friend, particularly the early calling of Abraham. So bow your heads with me, please, and we'll ask God to bless our time together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the examples of the faith of those who have gone before us. We stand and sit here today as debtors, great debtors, to the people of faith that have gone before us. Please show us something new today, something different, something fresh to encourage us in our friendship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody here this morning that's facing uncertainties? Anybody here this morning that's facing any kind of uncertainty this morning? Maybe it's in your family, maybe it's in your job, maybe it's to do with something that's at a distance from you and you can't do anything about. Well, I stand in the pulpit this morning as someone who's also facing some uncertainties. We are having a few more complications than we thought over our visa situation right now. And so I want to face my uncertainties with faith, don't you? I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to worry. I want to follow the advice and the voice of God in this book. And so I think we can find some encouragement today from the story of Abraham and the call of Abraham when God came along to him at some period in his life and said, "Get out, leave, and you will be blessed." There's a lot of uncertain things in the world out there, but I think we can learn a lot today from the story, from the faith, and from the call of Abraham. It was a wet morning, maybe a little bit like this morning, although I can see the sun coming out now. It was a wet morning. It was in late April 2008. And the memories of this morning are burned quite vividly in my mind. As I got up that morning, I realized that when I was going to go to bed at night, I was going to be a long, long way away from my homeland and my family. And it was a hard morning. We got up at the usual time, and by about 7:30, 7:45, we were heading out the door, all of us in our minivan in the UK. And we had to just drop Jacob off at school, which we did, and I said goodbye to him. And then we got back in the minivan, drove another 20 minutes or so to the school that Elliot and Curtis went to, and I said my goodbyes to them as well. And by this point, I was starting to lose it, and I was already in tears. And then Cheryl drove me the 35-40 minute drive along the M4 motorway that heads eastwards towards London from where we lived in Reading. And she dropped me off at Heathrow Airport, and there were more tears, because I was leaving the UK and following God's calling in my life to go and train for ministry. This was a big change for us, and we had hoped that we would be all making this journey together. But our home hadn't sold. The market was crashing, and things were very uncertain. And by the time I'd said goodbye to Cheryl, and she was in tears and I was in tears, I entered into the terminal building there at Heathrow Airport, one of the busiest airports in Europe, and checked my bag in, and I got something to eat and got something to drink. And I sat down at the gate and waited for my plane. I was booked onto the Air India flight from London Heathrow to Chicago O'Hare Airport that late April 2008 morning. And as I sat on the plane, it wasn't full. I had space around me. I think if I can remember rightly, they had placed me in a window seat. And I noticed that the two seats next to me were completely vacant. And I felt at that moment very lonely, a little afraid, uncertainty. I was facing uncertainty. And a thought came into my head, look, you know, even though you can smell the waft of the Air India food on board the plane, Andy, there's still time to bolt out if you want to and to get out of this situation. I'd sold my car the day before for £4,000, $6,000. And that was the money that I was going to pay to get me through my first semester at Andrews University, the seminary. And we split the money, I think, Cheryl, didn't we? And there was money, obviously, to look after Cheryl and the boys through the summer we were going to be apart. And I sat on that plane, and I looked out the window, and I realized that this decision was going to cost me. I realized when I came to Jesus that the decision was going to cost me, but I really felt once more the radical call of God on my life, and where it was taking me, I didn't know. Where I was going to end up, I didn't know. And really, life is like that, isn't it? Full of uncertainties, full of situations that are out of our control. How do you face, how do we best face the uncertainties that lie ahead in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our worldwide church family across the world? Well, as you can see, I didn't take that opportunity to bolt. And God helped us and blessed us through our whole Andrews experience. And 2 years ago now, nearly 2 years ago, I came to Lincoln October 6, 2011. We came. We've been here and happy to be ministering here for the last 2 years. Hasn't time gone quickly? My, it has. I must remember the first time we came here and were introduced to the church here. But one person that's gone before, One person that God started again with has been a great encouragement and anchor in my life. And that's the story of Abraham. And we're going to have a look at some of these verses this morning. I'd like you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 this morning. We're going to have a look at some verses from Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to be in the New International Version this morning. Abraham in the Bible is in three places outside of the Genesis story is labeled as God's friend. God's friend. And as I've read the Bible through the years, and as I've studied and done my theological training, and as I now have 2 years of pastoral experience behind me, this is the concept, this is the theme that I think God wants to communicate to us more than ever. God wants relationship. He wants friends. And when God calls a person, when God calls you in your life, He wants to share Himself with you in all of His fullness. And He wants us to respond in like manner. And so turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 6. And we're going to follow here what the Apostle Paul recommends for us to do. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Like I said, I'm in the New International Version. Okay, the first two words of this text in the New International Version are, consider Abraham. Think about Abraham. Ponder Abraham. He, that's Abraham, believed God, and it, his belief, was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And I'm guessing that many of you are sitting here this morning and saying, yes, Lord, I want to be more like Abraham. I want to be a man of faith, or a woman of faith, or a young person of faith, or a child of faith, so that in this uncertain world, with our uncertain futures ahead of us, we respond to God and to the circumstances that come in our life with faith. I've learned that the examples of the faithful in the Bible, the ones we look up to, they were just human beings, just like me and you. They struggled with things, just like me and you. Let's not put these people right up on a pedestal so that we feel so bad about ourselves. But let's hold them up as examples of people that we can copy, that we can be like, that we can emulate, that we can be helped by. Abraham's name is mentioned nearly 300 times in the Bible. Of course, his name was changed by God in Genesis chapter 17, and he was known first of all as Abram, which means exalted father. He became Abraham when God made that solemn covenant. The sign was circumcision, changed his name to Abraham, the father of many, or the father of many nations. Abraham is held up as a model of faith, obedience, righteousness, and sacrifice in the Bible. And Paul picks up on Abraham, the father of the nation, in Romans chapter 4 and in Galatians chapter 3, a portion of which we've just looked through now. And so does the disciple James in his letter in James chapter 2 picks up on the example of Abraham in his beautiful passage that explains so clearly the balance between our faith and how it works. Friends, I suggest to you that in this first radical call of Abraham that Jana read for us this morning from Genesis chapter 12, seated inside that call was the call from the same voice 40 years later, Abraham, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and go to the mountain, sacrifice him there, which I'll show you. Abraham is the father of the faithful. In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said to the Jews in his day, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad." Abraham looked towards the future with joy to the coming Messiah, which the sacrifice was so beautifully demonstrated in his obedient call to God in Genesis chapter 22. If you look carefully through Luke's gospel, you'll see in a number of instances where Jesus uses this very endearing term towards someone he was going to help or someone he was going to heal. He said in Luke 13, verse 16, to the lady who'd been bent over for 18 years, who he was going to liberate on the Sabbath, he said, "You're a daughter of Abraham." And to Zacchaeus, that greedy, embezzling, dirty tax collector, when he saw the change that was coming about in his life, as Zacchaeus responded to Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. I look before me and see many daughters and sons of Abraham." There's a beautiful, isn't there, little children's song about Father Abraham had many sons and many daughters too. Many sons and daughters had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Abraham looked ahead to see the time when the Messiah would come, and he rejoiced, and he saw it, and was glad. Some of you may remember that I preached a sermon. I'm not sure how long ago it was now, but I preached a sermon on the passage that preceded this passage, the story of Abraham's father, the short account in Genesis 11 of the story of Abraham's father, Terah. And I think if you can remember with me in that story, everything was imperfect. Abraham was a very unlikely candidate for God's call and for God's blessing. And if you look carefully through Genesis 11, verses 27 through 32, you'll see that there was three big strikes, circumstances of life that came against this man even before we have the reiteration of the call from God to Abraham in Genesis 12. And I'd just like you to remind you of those things before we move on. Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. The first hit for Abraham comes in verse 28. The uncertainty of life. Genesis 11, verse 28. While his father, Terah, was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abraham's was a home that was hit by loss, that was hit with the greatest enemy, with the greatest loss, Abraham lost one of his brothers. Maybe it was that that made him a bit more open to God's call and to obeying God's call. You know, sometimes there's that song by Laura Story about God's blessings in being in disguise. Sometimes the losses that come to our life, the uncertainties that come to our life, could it be that they really are blessings to us in disguise? Because they help us turn our eyes off of the things of this world that always grow strangely dim in the light of Jesus. They help us to refocus, take our minds off of the transient, the temporal, the passing things of this life, and fix it upon God. Terah's household, Abraham, lost his brother Haran. Loss is just about as much a part of life as birth and breathing. We all lose things throughout our lives. The second hit that came against Abraham before the call was reiterated is found in verse 30. Here's a man called Exalted Father who has no children. And so verse 30 says, "Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, was barren. She had no children." We would say here that they had an infertility problem. Friends, there are some things in life that no matter how hard you try, you can't change them or do anything about them. There are just some things. All of our human power, all of our human will, can't change. And I wonder if this situation again, where children, so they're valued and precious today. We saw another baby dedication this morning for little baby Memphis. Abraham and Sarah faced a reality that they couldn't change. And then verse 32. We know from Acts chapter 7 that God had called out to Abraham as he was living in Mesopotamia, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abraham had obeyed that call to leave everything that was familiar to him, everything in his culture that was familiar to him, in obeying the call of God, in obeying the radical call of God in his life. He decided to up and leave his country and his relatives and his father's household. And it looks like there was a number of guys that tagged along with him. And one of them was his father, Terah. But God had called them to a land that he was going to show them, and that place wasn't Haran. That was the halfway house. And Abraham needed a call again. But if you look towards the end of verse 31... in Genesis chapter 11, it says, "But when they," Abraham and those that were joined to him, "came to Haran," what do? They settled there. We would say that they got stuck or that they got sidetracked. And I can see a few smiling faces today. Do you get stuck and sidetracked in your spiritual journey with God? There's a lot of things to get stuck by, isn't there? And a lot of things to get sidetracked by as well. I think, friends, we naturally divert and deviate away from God's plan and calling. And in my life, I can't quite figure out why I do it. Because I know deep in my heart of hearts, I know for you as well, friends, deep in my heart of hearts, that God has a way of leading, a place to take you to. It's going to be so much better than we can find or invent for ourselves. I don't know about you, but when I was on that Air India airplane waiting to take off from Heathrow Airport, I was comforted by certain scriptures. The reality I embraced as that Indian food was wafting from the kitchen, that I'm going to taste of the delights of heaven one day. Is that trade worth it? I thought. Is that trade to leave my country, to leave my parents, and to leave familiar friends and familiar surroundings, a familiar way to make money, a business that paid me well, to follow that calling in my life? Was I willing to trade it now, trust in God completely, or as completely as I knew how to then? And I said, yes, Lord. I'll trade what I've gone through, saying goodbye to my kids and saying goodbye to my wife and starting this journey, because it's going to all be worth it in the end. And Lord, please take me through the circumstances that you send me. You know, like I said before, there's not a lot, friends, that you can do sometimes about the circumstances that come at you in your life. But there is one thing we can do, friends, and that's respond to them. And we can respond with faith, not with worry. We can respond with faith and courage, and not with doubt and fear. And I don't know what's ahead for you in your life tomorrow, or this afternoon, or next week, or next month. I don't know the bills that may be stacking up, the insecurity of the work situation, the worry you have over a child or a parent or an uncle or an aunt or another family member. But I do know that I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and that despite the uncertainties that we face in our lives, that God has a plan and a way and a will that's far, far better, far working out in something infinitely better than we could possibly see or choose for ourselves. I want to face the uncertainties that I find right now in my life with courage and with faith. And so we come to the call of Abraham, to the call from radical prosperity to glorious uncertainty. Genesis 12, verse 1 says this: the Lord had said to Abraham, remember, he got stuck in Haran, he got sidetracked, he got distracted. Maybe the Lord is knocking on your shoulder right now. You've been sidetracked, distracted. Where are you looking? Are you looking at the problems all around you and the challenges and the trials and the uncertainties? Well, I encourage you, let's do the same as Father Abraham did. Take a longer perspective. He looked forward to the time when Jesus came. He rejoiced and saw that day and was glad. He looked forward to heaven and the city that God was going to make, because that's the one that's going to last, friends. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, leave your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Do you notice there that there's no names written there? I'll take you to the land of... God wants us, friends, to step out in faith. And then as we step out in faith along the way, he'll make things much more clearer and he'll show us the way. Amen. Leave your country, your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And Abraham was willing to make that trade. What do you think of his choice? Abraham was willing to make that trade. Temporality for eternity. God's training school. And to be liberated from the superstitions and the idolatry and the traditions of what he saw all around him, or would have seen all around him in the city of Ur. But can you see that he was called from glorious prosperity to glorious uncertainty? Can you imagine Abraham loading up his camels, putting on his tom-tom? Tom-tom always asks you, doesn't it, for where you're going, the address, the location, the place. Abraham put in the words, trusting God. Trusting God. And here's the promise. Get out, Abraham. Leave and be blessed. Genesis 12, verse 2, I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I'll make your name great. Abraham, I'll make you famous. And you will be a blessing, a channel that I can use to bless others. Starting in your immediate household, Abraham, and spreading in ripples to all the nations of the world. What a wonderful thing it is when God chooses us. Chosen you and me. God has chosen you and me. What a beautiful thought that is. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you, because it's through Abraham's line. It's through Abraham's line that Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of David, came. And verse 4 is Abraham's obedience. You want God's blessing? Respond with courage and obedience. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. You're never too young and you're never too old to respond to God's radical call on your life to leave and follow and go. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan and they arrived there. Now just drop down with me to verse 10. Sometimes, friends, God will call you to leave something or somewhere or some place or some friendships, some family, and you'll face uncertain circumstances. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land. No rain had fallen. The crops were withering and the pasture land looked brown. Don't you think Abraham would have been more than human if he had thought, well, this isn't working out, Lord. What about that plan that you had for blessing? Things are looking dark. Things are looking gray. I'll take this as a sign to pack up my bags and get back on my camels and head back to where I came from. But he met this situation with faith as well and went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Like Abraham, if you have or are experiencing loss right now, God knows, God understands. God wants to seek to heal and to comfort. If you're facing some insurmountable obstacles, like Abraham and Sarah were, they couldn't have children. There are things in your life that somehow and some way, there doesn't seem to be a thing that you can do to change that or do anything about that. Will change your response, maybe, and change your perspective on that. And if you've been sidetracked and got stuck and settled in a place where you're at now, which is not the place that God wants to bring you to or take you to, because we so easily and naturally divert and deviate away from God's plan and calling, then I ask you to read through and look at the story of Abraham. I'm facing some great uncertainties right now, but I'm determined to face them with courage and with faith. If you look very carefully, you see God's calling in the life of Elisha. In prosperity, he sacrificed, fed the people, and went on his way and followed Elijah. Was he making a good trade when he went from plowing to service? Well, the calling of the first disciples when Jesus asked them to lay down their nets, to leave their father and the hired men, and to follow him. They traded fishing for God's family. And the call of Matthew, the tax collector, in his prosperity also. Jesus came knocking on his booth one day, made him an offer. Temporality or eternity? A life of prosperity or a life of learning about mercy? I'd like to close by looking at the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 and ask our helpers for the final song to come up and get ready too. Hebrews chapter 11, let's read this scripture to finish. Hebrews 11 is that great chapter of people of faith who have gone before us. We have their example here in the Bible and also many examples in Christian history too. Let's have a look through Hebrews 11 verses 1, 6, and 8 through 10 to finish today. We'll finish on a triumphant note. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Verse 6, without faith, as I sat on that lonely airplane waiting to take off, not knowing where I was heading or where I was going, and 8 through 10 to finish today. We'll finish on a triumphant note. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Verse 6, without faith, as I sat on that lonely airplane waiting to take off, not knowing where I was heading or where I was going or where I'd end up. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must first believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently or earnestly seek him. Abraham chose that option. In verse 8 through 10, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, and he also lived with an intense faith in God, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For Abraham was looking forward to the city, the New Jerusalem, that has an apartment in it with your name on it, with foundations, whose architect and builder is God himself. It's not going to be like the Tower of Babel, folks, where God had to come down, scatter, move people away from their apartments. That's going to be the eternal place of our eternal abode. Go forward into your uncertainties by surrendering your all to Jesus and trusting in the hand that was nailed to the cross for you. The riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen.